The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 497 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. Please keep the five-star reviews coming there. Love to see that. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. That's a great way to interact with the show. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. What a crazy, wild weekend in the NFL and college football. A fight breaks out in the Raiders-Broncos game. Three players got tossed. Greg Schiano is going to be the new football coach at Tennessee. Then all of a sudden, after a protest, the deal is off the table. Alabama and Miami, number one and number two in the country, both get beat. Who knows what's going to go down next? It's like the scene in Dumb and Dumber when Jim Carrey starts yelling about their pets' heads are falling off. We have a lot to get into, a lot of games to talk about, and I'll take a look at the college football playoff picture. Let's begin with this mess at Tennessee. I don't think we can say Greg Schiano was fired because he was never actually hired. This was bonkers. There's an old saying in sports that if you start listening to the fans, you end up sitting with the fans. I am a firm believer of that. I guess Tennessee athletic director John Curry and company are not aware of the saying because they caved in. They were reportedly going to announce Schiano as the new coach Sunday night, and then after a protest on campus and criticism from some Tennessee politicians, the deal was taken off the table. I can't remember anything like this before. I mean, this was just nuts. Let me say up front, I love college football, but some of these fan bases have lost their minds, kind of like Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib. I think some Volunteers fans are expecting Bill Belichick to leave the Patriots and coach Tennessee. I mean, there's no perspective. Some of these people really need a reality check. Tennessee is not a marquee program anymore. Sorry, the truth hurts. 0-8 in the SEC this season. Go back to 2012. You're 5-7. The next year, you're 5-7 again. 2014, you're 7-6. The days of Peyton Manning and T. Martin, they're over. And I know Greg Schiano is not a sexy choice, but he's very well respected. He's a solid football guy. And in his last 7 years at Rutgers, he got them to 6 bowl games. We're talking about Rutgers, people. He was an NFL head coach. He's now the D coordinator at Ohio State, which is a marquee program, unlike Tennessee. Urban Meyer raves about Schiano as a coach and as a person. Mark Dominic, who hired him to be the Buccaneers head coach, gives Schiano a stellar review. And one of the trustees at Penn State, because that issue got brought up, said Schiano had nothing to do with the Sandusky scandal. Any stories about his involvement are completely without basis in fact, and it's disappointing that Tennessee officials have been influenced by the voices of a grossly uninformed social media mob. Listen, I ripped some of the Penn State officials for what happened with the Sandusky child abuse scandal. That was reprehensible, despicable. But Schiano has said he never saw any abuse or had reason to suspect it while he worked there. He was there from 1990 to 95, and there is no proof to contradict what he has said. Plus, He's had other jobs. You don't think these other places vetted him before they gave him a job? Pretty sure they did. Here's my take. Tennessee fans did not want him to be the coach, so they latched onto this Penn State issue to ruin the deal. I think the people in Knoxville did not like Schiano from a football perspective, and they used the Penn State angle to initiate a protest, stir things up on social media, which, as expected, went nuts, and now the deal is out the window. Social media can be very, very helpful. It's a great way to get information instantly. However, and this is a fat Albert-sized but, social media can also be flat-out disgusting. Anonymous people saying reprehensible things without even thinking twice about it. They just don't care. No morals, no conscience, no nothing. Sitting in their parents' basement eating Cheetos. Unfortunately, this time it worked because the people in charge of making a coaching decision folded. No spine, no backbone, they caved in. And that is embarrassing for Tennessee. This is episode 497 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. The podcast is brought to you by iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which will help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He's the most trusted authority on sleep in the entire nation. So go to the website iHomeAudio.com and take a look at the Zenergy line of products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Plus, enter the code SPORTS for a 25% discount off of your purchase. How sweet is that? Enter the code SPORTS. You'll get 25% off your purchase. Really cool. It's on the website again, iHomeAudio.com. Let's stick with the college football here on the Sports Report. Like I said before, it's not just in Knoxville. Fan bases are crazy all over the country. Kevin Sumlin got canned at Texas A&M. He never had a losing season, not one. He went 11-2 his first season in 2012, the Johnny Football days. Now he's out the door. The Aggies lost to LSU by 24, so they end up 7-5. I understand, disappointing, but you're getting rid of a guy who never had a losing season. Jim Mora got the axe at UCLA. He won 9 games his first year, then he went 10-3 in 2013 and 2014. Everybody was loving him. He won 29 games in 3 seasons. Now he's gone. And I do think Chip Kelly was a good hire. He had a ton of success at Oregon. He took the Ducks to a new level. They were a national power, not just a good team out in the Pac-12 on the West Coast. They were a national powerhouse. I think he's much better suited for the college game with his offense and also with dealing with players. It just did not work in the NFL. That was a disaster. Texas, you know, here's another example. Look at the Longhorns since Mack Brown left. They're 6-6 team now. They were under 500 the previous 3 seasons. Fans are very quick to turn on coaches. Love them one year, can't stand them the next. Time to run them right out of town. It happens all the time. And because college football is a big business, and that's what it is, it is a big money game, university administrators, they get nervous and they cave in to these outside noises. Sometimes, you know, making a change just to make a change is not the right move, but you see it all the time. And then they get stuck buying out contracts for millions and millions and millions of dollars. And that has become the norm. Sad, but true. Florida hired Dan Mullen, who I've always liked. He spent 9 years at Mississippi State. I thought he was underrated there. 10 wins in 2014, 9 wins the following year. His team's usually overachieved. And Mullen was Florida's offensive coordinator for 4 years. He won 2 national titles with Tim Tebow. So he knows all about that program. And Florida needs to get a quarterback, plain and simple. That is priority number 1 through 10. That's what you have to do in Gator Country. Todd Graham is out at Arizona State after 6 years. He won 10 games in 2013. He won 10 more in 2014. Now he's gone. And we're not done there. Mike Riley shown the door at Nebraska. He only lasted 3 years. And the Huskers were downright brutal on defense this season. Everyone seems to think that Scott Frost is going to go back to his alma mater and get that Nebraska job. He's done an awesome job at Central Florida in 2 short years. Took over a club that was 0-12 before he arrived. Now they are 11-0. They just beat South Florida, who's a pretty good team. They beat them 49-42. So, a couple of questions for you here to start the show. Number one, are college football fans too impatient? And did Greg Schiano get a raw deal at Tennessee? I say yes and yes. I say yes to both questions. Let me know what you think on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. College football fans, are they too impatient? And did Greg Schiano get a raw deal at Tennessee? Let me know on Twitter again at TheSportsRPT. Moving along here on episode number 497 of the Sports Report podcast, I'm Paul Roberts. Thanks for hanging out. As for what happened on the field, and this is the stuff that I actually enjoy talking about, Auburn upset number 1 Alabama in the old Iron Bowl. The Tide led by 4 in the third quarter, but the Tigers scored 16 straight to win it 26-14. Auburn had the football for 12 more minutes than Alabama. Jarrett Stidham and Kerryon Johnson led the way. Johnson had a sweet jump pass. I mentioned Tim Tebow not long ago. It looked like Tebow. He also ran it 30 times for 100 yards before he injured his shoulder. And hopefully Johnson is okay. Alabama was not sharp. Not what you expect out of a Nick Saban team. Issues with snaps. And most importantly, 3 of 11 on third down. I've often said the two things I look at when I'm checking out the box score after a game. Number 1, turnovers. That's the most important stat. And then number 2, third down. Are you moving the chains? Are you keeping drives alive, chance to score, or are you punting? 3 of 11, not going to get it done. Auburn was 9 of 18 on third down. So a big, big difference right there. Tigers will face Georgia again, this time in the SEC Championship. You remember Auburn smoked Georgia 40-17 just a few weeks ago. The Dogs could not run the ball a lick in that game, and Auburn is red hot right now. Forget about the 2 losses they have. Beat Georgia, and Auburn is in the national playoffs. Period. End of story. I don't care about those 2 losses. If you beat Georgia, Alabama, Georgia, you deserve to be in. Number 2, Miami got shocked by Pittsburgh, 24-14. Pittsburgh is 5-7, 3-5 in the ACC. This was a stunner. Top 2 teams have not lost in the same weekend in 5 years. Auburn winning, that wasn't outrageous to me. This one was. The Panthers dominated time of possession, held the Canes to 230 total yards. Miami struggled with Florida State, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, North Carolina, and now it finally caught up to the U. And all those teams I mentioned, those are teams under 500. Florida State, Georgia Tech are 5-6. Syracuse is 4-8. North Carolina is only 3-9. I'm still surprised that Miami whooped Notre Dame. I mean, that was 41-8. I'm still scratching my head over that one. You have to like Clemson in the ACC championship game over Miami, right? Tigers dominated South Carolina 34-10 in their rivalry game. Some people thought that would be closer. I did not. Clemson just has much better athletes out there. The Irish lost to Stanford 38-20. Three losses now for Notre Dame. This is one, if you just look at the final score, it doesn't really tell you the whole story here. Notre Dame was up after three quarters and got outscored 21-0 in the fourth. Stanford just blitzed Notre Dame in the final quarter. The Cardinal got help from Washington in the old Apple Cup against Washington State, and this was not close. 41-14 Huskies. So Stanford will go to the Pac-12 final against USC. Stanford got off to a tough start, 1-2. They're playing well right now. Oklahoma took care of West Virginia, 59-31. Props to head coach Lincoln Riley for benching Baker Mayfield and stripping him of his captaincy. A message needed to be sent to his quarterback that it's time to grow up. And I don't need to hear about how competitive he is either. Please, take the excuses around the corner. This is the excuse police, all right? Excuses stop here. Stop acting like a punk and start acting like someone who wants to win the Heisman Trophy. You can be ultra competitive and not act like a fool, all right? That's the lesson of the day, kids. Write this down. You can be ultra competitive and not act like an idiot, all right? So tip my cap to Lincoln Riley for sitting down Baker Mayfield at the start of that game. Oklahoma, now 11-1, will play TCU, who's 10-2 in the Big 12 championship game. If TCU wins, things get a lot more interesting. Wisconsin and Ohio State will face off for the Big Ten title. Badgers are 12-0. But if JT Barrett is healthy, I'm taking the Buckeyes in this matchup. I think Ohio State is a more explosive team. Although the Buckeyes can drive you crazy, they just don't play a full four quarters. And they look really, really bad at times. Look at the first half against Penn State. Look at the Iowa game. The Buckeyes did beat Michigan with a backup in Dwayne Haskins. He was in for JT Barrett. The Wolverines blew a 14-0 lead. Ohio State got a late touchdown to make it seem more lopsided than it really was. Michigan desperately needs to find a quarterback. Just like I talked about with Florida, same is true for the Wolverines. John O'Korn, he doesn't cut it. And I have said it a bazillion times, it is a glaring weakness for Michigan. And if you don't have a quarterback, you don't win. Michigan has dropped 6 in a row in this rivalry. Ouch. So here are the new AP rankings. Clemson's number 1 now, Oklahoma 2, Wisconsin 3. Wisconsin's the only unbeaten among the Power Conference teams. Auburn is 4. Alabama's number 5, only loss at Auburn. Georgia's 6, Miami 7, and Ohio State number 8. Ohio State has that 31-point loss to Iowa, and that could loom very, very large. A lot's still up in the air. I mean, what if Miami upsets Clemson? What if TCU beats Oklahoma? What if Wisconsin loses to Ohio State? So it's impossible now to say these four teams are going to get in. I think Clemson, Oklahoma, and Auburn will take care of business. I just think Clemson is a better team, more talented than Miami. I've thought that all the way through. Oklahoma, that's a tricky spot against TCU, who has the best defense in the Big 12, But, you know, quarterback play is so important. Baker Mayfield is the best in the country right now. So we'll lean to Oklahoma and then Auburn. You saw what happened last time that they played Georgia. So I think Clemson, Oklahoma, and Auburn will take care of business. And that means there's one spot open. And I think it's either Wisconsin or Alabama. If Wisconsin wins, they win a Big Ten championship, they stay undefeated, then they deserve to go. I mean, 13-0, you have to put them in. If Wisconsin loses, though, and I think this is going to happen, then I would go Alabama. Alabama only with one loss, and it was against Auburn. I would have Alabama in as my fourth team. Some people are going to bring up Ohio State here if they do beat Wisconsin, but how do you forget about a 31-point loss to Iowa? And Iowa's not even a good team. All right, so I would go Bama over Ohio State if that was the scenario there. So I'm thinking Clemson, Oklahoma, Auburn, and then you have the fourth spot up in the air. If Wisconsin wins, they'll be in. If not, then I'm going with the Tide. What do you think? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Which four teams are getting in the college football playoffs? I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. This is episode number 497 of The Sports Report. Paul Roberts with you every Monday on The Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv. And of course, in the podcast section of iTunes, just type in The Sports Report with Paul Roberts. The show will come up. And please, please write us a nice little 5-star review. Always appreciate that. Helps to promote the show. On to week 12 action in the NFL. And let me get to the debacle that was Broncos Raiders. This turned into WWE stuff. We all know that Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib have a beef, right? Well, on the Raiders' second possession, Crabtree blocked Talib well out of bounds. Talib pulled a chain off Crabtree's neck. Now, he did the same thing last season, and then all heck broke loose on the sideline and then back out on the field. Punches were thrown. Crabtree's helmet was tossed into the stands. Oakland offensive lineman Gabe Jackson made contact with an official. He was ejected. Crabtree and Talib were also tossed. I mean, this was a fiasco. And the National Football League, which already has an image issue, let's be honest, the NFL must suspend these two guys. Talib, Crabtree, they must be suspended. No choice here for the commish. Chris Harris said that Crabtree punched him before that fight even broke out. So Crabtree clearly was more concerned with getting revenge than playing football. And Oakland nearly blew a 21-0 lead. The Raiders hung on 21-14. Trevor Siemian replaced Paxton Lynch. He's out 2 to 4 weeks with an ankle injury, and you could see him crying on the sideline. Siemian comes in, throws a couple touchdown passes. Things get interesting, but Derek Carr lofted up a ball over the middle of the field to Patterson. He took it 54 yards to ice it. Oakland now 5-4. Oakland's only one game behind Kansas City out west. Denver has lost 7 straight. Just like I mentioned in college football, no quarterback, no shot. Chiefs got upset at home by the Bills, 16-10. Tre'Davious White picked off Alex Smith late to seal the deal. KC managed just 236 yards. More questions now for Big Red Andy Reid about his quarterback and whether or not he should bench Alex Smith. Chiefs have lost 5 out of 6. Wow, was not expecting that. Tyrod Taylor back at quarterback where he belongs in Buffalo, and he played his typical efficient game. Not spectacular, he usually isn't, but he threw for 183 yards and a touchdown. Buffalo 6-5 and in the wild card hunt. They never, ever should have benched Tyrod Taylor. It was a bonehead move. Patriots rolled over the Dolphins 35-17 to go to 9-2. Brady threw four touchdowns, two of them to Gronk. Seven straight wins for New England. Pittsburgh tied with the Pats for the top spot in the AFC. The Steelers once again played down to their competition in a 31-28 victory in Pittsburgh over a banged-up Green Bay squad, a team without Aaron Rodgers, without Clay Matthews, without Ty Montgomery. Usually the Steelers play down to their opponents on the road. This time they did it at home. Antonio Brown, how good is this guy? Made an incredible 23-yard catch on the sideline, which led to Chris Boswell's career-long 53-yard field goal as time expired. If you haven't seen that catch by Brown, maybe you fell asleep a little bit early. This was the Sunday night game. Go back and check it out. He had 10 catches, 169 yards, and two touchdowns. Also a clutch kick in cold weather there by Boswell from 53. Steelers have won six in a row. This was tougher than it should have been. Pittsburgh was a 14-point favorite. In the South, Tennessee and Jacksonville tied at 7-4. The Jags lost at Arizona 27-24, and the Titans won at Indianapolis 20-16. The Jacksonville finish was wild. Jags were down until former Cardinal Calais Campbell returned Blaine Gabbert's fumble 10 yards for a score with 12 minutes to go. However, Gabbert answered with a 52-yard bomb to Brown and a two-point conversion pass to Fitzgerald. Arizona up 7. Then a big kickoff return set up Jacksonville with the short field, and the Jags got even on a 17-yard touchdown run by Blake Bortles, who later threw a horrendous interception, but same old for Bortles there. So we had three touchdowns within 5 minutes. Fast forward to the final seconds. Gabbert throws the ball to the sideline, and DJ Foster makes a sick catch with 6 seconds remaining. Incredible job just to stay in bounds. Phil Dawson comes on. He's been really shaky this year, but he booted a game-winning 57-yard field goal, his career best, and the Cardinals upset the Jags. Costly loss for Jacksonville because Tennessee finally figured out how to win at Indy. The Colts could not hold on to a 10-point third-quarter lead. Titans marched 77 yards for the go-ahead score, a 1-yard TD run by DeMarco Murray with 6 minutes to go. They sacked Jacoby Brissett 8 times, and they recovered a pivotal fumble by Marlon Mack at the Colts' 4-yard line. That was a game-changer right there. That might have been the biggest play of the game. Tennessee had lost 9 in a row at Lucas Oil Stadium. This one was not pretty, but they will definitely take it. To the NFC now, the Saints had won 8 straight going into LA. This was the marquee matchup of the day. Jared Goff. I mean, how good does this guy look? 350 yards, 2 touchdowns, and the Rams got an impressive 26-20 victory. They were in control all day. Both teams 8-3. The Rams had 10 more first downs. They outgained New Orleans 415 to 346. And we've heard a lot about how improved the Saints' defense is. They gave up 415 yards to Goff and company. People were writing him off last season. You know, sometimes with rookies, got to give them a little bit of time here. It goes back to patience. You know, a lot of people just don't have it. Tons of penalties, flags all over the field in this game. Some big plays on offense. Overall, though, LA, the better team. Carolina also in that 8-3 club. The Panthers took advantage of some Jets miscues to win 35-27. New York was up 2 in the fourth quarter before a meltdown. Luke Kuechly scooped and scored on a fumble return, went 34 yards for the lead. And then 2 minutes later, Kalen Clay took a punt 60 yards to the house. Now it's 32 to 20. Just like that. Bam. New York did respond with a touchdown, but the Jets defense could not get off the field in the final minutes. Cam Newton, not accurate in this game. 11 of 28, 168 yards, but the Panthers have won four straight to get even with the Saints. The defense, the special teams came up large in the fourth quarter. Atlanta's only one game back at 7-4. The Falcons beat the Bucs 34-20. Matt Ryan, 317 yards and a score. And how about Mohamed Sanu showing off his arm? A 51-yard touchdown pass to Julio Jones. And it was a sweet pass by the wide receiver. He bobbled the ball. He was in the shotgun like a wildcat look. Faked a handoff. Got popped up in the air. He managed to get it off before taking a hit. And it was a nice spiral. 50 yards to Julio Jones. Julio went off in this one. 12 catches. 253 yards. Two touchdowns. Wow. If you have him on your fantasy team, you are pretty happy today. Tevin Coleman also had a nice day, 97 yards on the ground and a couple of scores. Seattle's hanging around in the wild card mix in the NFC at 7-4. Seahawks defeated the 49ers 24-13. Russell Wilson tossed two touchdowns, ran for a third. Jimmy Garoppolo made his San Francisco debut. CJ Beathard got hurt late in the game. Garoppolo tossed a touchdown pass as time expired, and I would stick with him. He may not know the offense as well. Beathard, to me, is not a starting quarterback in the National Football League, so I would give Garoppolo a shot. Seattle will host Philadelphia Sunday night. This is a big, big test for the Seahawks. What can you say about the Eagles? I mean, you run out of superlatives. They hammered the Bears 31-3 in Philly. Carson Wentz, 227 yards, three touchdowns. He's now at 28 touchdowns, only five interceptions. Zach Ertz, the tight end, had a big day, 10 catches, over 100 yards and a score. Alshon Jeffrey in the end zone again. Nelson Aguilar did a somersault to get into the end zone. LeGarrette Blount is jumping over people. Even when they fumble, it's a good thing. Jay Ajayi fumbled. It rolled into the end zone and was recovered for a touchdown. Eagles outgained the Bears on the ground 176-6. And that is very noteworthy because Chicago is a ground and pound team with Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback, the rookie. They don't want to throw the ball a lot. Try and take pressure off of him. They could not run the ball. Six rushing yards for the Bears. Blount had 97. The Eagles are 10-1. Keep in mind, they were 7-9 last year. They have won nine in a row. They've scored 30-plus points in five straight games, and they have seven wins by double digits. They're not just winning games. They're taking people behind the woodshed and spanking them. Three straight wins by 28 points for the Eagles. Fans in Philly are pumped. Players even doing the electric slide. Did you see that dance? I like these creative celebrations this year. The Eagles did the bowling routine as well, where you knock the pins over. Vikings have had some creative celebrations. They did the duck, duck, goose. So some good stuff around the league. I've been telling you for weeks that Dallas was in big trouble. The Cowboys got thumped on Thanksgiving 28-6 by the Chargers. It's not like that was against the Patriots or the Steelers. Dallas falls to 5-6, so the Cowboys are two back of Atlanta and Seattle for the last wild card berth. Not good for Jerry's world. Last and still least, the Browns are 0-11. A 30-16 loss to the Bengals. Nothing more to say about Cleveland. And you know, I have to mix in some college hoops, and most of you probably focused on Sunday night football, but two top 10 matchups Sunday night. Number one, Duke came back. Quite a comeback for the Blue Devils, and they're doing this with a lot of freshmen. They have an unbelievable freshman class, plus the sharpshooter, Grayson Allen. But number one, Duke beat Florida 87-84. And North Carolina lost and lost big against Michigan State, 63-45. So Michigan State unable to beat Duke, but took care of business against North Carolina. I love these early season non-conference matchups, get the best against the best. It's really, really good stuff if you're a college hoops junkie like me. So you can weigh in on college football. You can talk about the NFL. Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Certainly college hoops, if you're into that. Who's the best team you've seen so far? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. And who is your four? Which college football teams are getting in the national playoffs? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you had plenty of turkey and all that stuff. Don't worry about your weight and things like that. You got the whole rest of the year to come up with those resolutions that nobody ever keeps anyway. For one day, enjoy it. Hopefully you got to hang out with your friends and family. That's the most important thing. So we're back having fun. I'll talk to you again next week. A lot more on college football and the NFL for sure, some gigantic college football championship games coming up this weekend. Have a great week, everybody. This has been episode number 497 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.